Yeah. How about if this could be the best year ever? Woo! All right. And I know that because Jeremiah says, I've got good plans and a hope and a free future for you. So, ta-da! This is the best year ever. All right. So, let's say, Father God, I thank you. 2017 is the best year ever for me and my family. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, well, we're starting a new series. It's called FIT, F-I-T, fabulously fit, awesome fit, 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 fit. Okay, we're going to be fit. And, you know, the series kind of goes along what everybody does in the beginning of the year, right? The beginning of the year, most people make some sort of commitment, right? I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do this, right? And it's usually about fitness. It's about, you know, exercising or eating right. That's usually about the top three that people do. But did you also know 1 month ago in the month of December, guess what those gyms look like? Empty. I didn't even drive by. They're empty. And then January 1st, see, I tried this out last year, so I don't even bother. But last year I went there January 1st. I couldn't get on a machine. So I'm waiting until February 1st. January 1st, everybody's made this commitment, so everybody's working out. Now, did you know statistically, there's about 93% of people in America that make a commitment to do work out, eat out, eat healthy, you know, and do all that stuff. But before the end of the month, only 7% make it that far. That's pitiful. I have been pitiful, I'm telling you, okay? So, what's that mean? That's not too good. That's not really too good at all. So here we have 7% that actually made the commitment that they're going to eat better or work out or they're going to make some changes in their life, and there's only 7% that make that. Okay, now, let me give you some statistics here because I had fun Googling this. Did you know that the weight loss industry brings in about $60 billion a year in the United States? Woo-hoo-hoo! Those are big numbers in case you didn't know that. All right. And then 85% of the customers that consume weight loss are, besides that, what gender?
Women.
Okay. You can look at that two ways. Guys don't give a care. All right. And I don't know. Okay. The supplement industry brings in, $20 billion to the U.S. economy. Supplements. Okay, so what does that tell you and I? What does that tell you? That people really do want to get fit. That's what I read all those numbers and I see, look at the gym. People really do care about being healthy. They don't like being unhealthy, right? So kind of put one and one together and you get two. Okay, so we're going to start a new series. It's not necessarily have to do about physical health as much as your spirit, your soul, and your body. So we're going to do a series called FIT because we want to, how about if we get fit? So now some of you that have been in church for a long time, you probably already know this, but if you are unfit spiritually, okay, we're going to talk a lot about your spirit today, but if you are unfit spiritually, most likely you are unfit in all areas of your life. Oh, Pastor D, you're so mean. No. I've been around the block a couple of times. Actually, I've had the problem in my own life. If you are unfit spiritually, most likely it shows up in all areas of your life, okay? Such as, have you ever seen somebody, I actually know this happened to an old friend of mine. They looked super fit on the outside, pumped up, did a lot of exercise. Actually, he was a cyclist. And every time I'd see him all over York County and they lived down the road from me and I would be in East York and I'd see this guy just riding his bike. Now on the outside, he looked like he was fit. But guys, something on the inside was not. And actually, he told me this story not too long ago. He was, he said, you know, when I was in my teen years, he loved double stuffed Oreos. Anybody like double stuffed Oreos? They're awesome. Now, back in my day, they didn't have double stuff, so you'd scrape one off on your teeth, smash them on, and, you know, you make your own double stuff, okay? So he just loved double stuff Oreos, and he just loved ice cream, and he said he was consuming ice cream every day. Yet, if you look on the outside of him, he looked really lean and you know, da-da-da-da. So then in his 30s, he said he was like in his late 30s, he was walking by like a Walmart or a CVS, and they had this cholesterol test. And he was with his wife, who was not really into working out and stuff like that. And he goes, I'm going to go get mine tested because, you know, I'm obviously better than my wife. So his wife gets tested, and she's got these real low numbers, just like, uh-huh. And he gets tested, and he's got like 300-something or other. Okay? So, listen, just because you look doesn't mean on the inside. All right, so now take this spiritually. How about if I could open you up? Better yet, I'm not opening you up. How about if you could open up yourself? Look inside at your spirit. Look inside in your spirit. Would you be like a Barney Fife, this scrawny, not so good looking, huh? Some of you don't even know who Barney Fife is. Raise your hand if you don't know who Barney Fife is. Okay. That's right. Okay, so you have to help me out. Okay. So today we're going to talk about being spiritually fit. How are we going to be spiritually fit, okay? We need to be spiritually fit, all right? And there's certain right things that we do. There's right things that we do that will help us be spiritually fit, okay? Now, pretty much in the natural, you all know this. You hit 50, you buy a Fitbit, and you start walking. Okay, my kids bought me this because I wasn't doing anything, all right? And then if you're younger, you might do a CrossFit program or that, what's that, spin? I finally found out what spin is. That's the crazy people on the bicycle that go, okay? So you know what to do in the natural for your natural body to get fit, right? Raise your hand if you don't, because we'll tell you what to do. We love telling people what to do around here, right? Okay, so you know what to do. But listen, the day you received Jesus Christ, the day you said, Jesus, would you be the Lord of my life, was not the end of everything. It was the beginning of you doing things, doing stuff that you continue, that you would grow and be fit. It's not, ta-da, I asked Jesus into my life. I don't have to do anything. It's like, ta-da, there's things that you do to be spiritually fit. Okay? So, now, turn over to 1 Thessalonians, would y'all? 1 Thessalonians. Say that 5 times fast. Thessalonians, Thessalonians, Thessalonians. Okay. 1 Thessalonians. Praise the Lord. What is it? Chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to us. If you have received Jesus, you are part of, you're called a Christian, you're a follower, this is us. He's writing to us. So how about you say, he's writing to me. He's writing to me. When you read your Bible, you go, God, this is to me. All right, here we go. He's writing to me and he says, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. That means make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless or kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know Jesus is coming back someday? Okay, if he doesn't come back before UK comes back, you're going to go up. So it's a win-win. All right. Now, so what's Paul saying here? He's saying, hey, guys, you are a three-part being. You are a spirit. The real you is a spirit. And you have mind, will, and emotion. Okay, that's your soul, right? That's your soul. Thank you. You have soul. It's mind, will, and emotion. And then guess what? You live in a body. You live in a body, but you are a spirit. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Any bodies here? Guys, you're here. You're the body that's here. Okay. All righty. Now, if this is new for you and you're going, Pastor D, what are you talking about? Three-part being. Guys, you are a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotion. That's your soul, and you live in a body. So, and listen, the Bible teaches you that. I just didn't cook that up just so your brain's going, this is the squirreliest thing I've ever heard. No, this just came out of the Word of God, right? You see that? So let's read the next part. Do they got that up there? Okay, the next part, Paul says, he starts and says, you're a three-part being, right? Spirit, soul, and body. And I am praying that you be preserved. Okay, preserve means to guard, to protect, to keep. So Paul is praying. It goes like this. He's saying, hey, you guys, guess what? You are a three-part being, and I'm praying that you will be preserved, guarded, and protected until Jesus' return. Right? Put those three things together, right? Okay. Now, today, what I want you to understand is, put your seatbelt on. Don't get mad at me or God, but listen to this. God can't guard your spirit. Look at that scripture. Look up there, okay? God can't guard what's happening on the inside of you. Guess who's responsible? Raise your hand. You are responsible for what goes on in your spirit. After you receive Jesus, okay, this is after you're a Christian, okay? After you receive Jesus, guys, you are told to guard, preserve, keep, okay, maintain, all that stuff. That's your responsibility, okay? You are told to do some things. And some of you go, well, God, that's not fair. How come you don't take care of everything? Listen, there's certain things that God says you're responsible to do. And this is one of them. So the one thing he says is you are responsible. You, not me, Pastor D, not your spouse, okay, not the church. It says you are responsible to guard, protect, and preserve your spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 6:16, would y'all? Praise the Lord. Now, 2 Corinthians, again, this is Paul, and he's talking to us, followers, believers, okay? He's talking to us. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And it says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Right there, he calls you the temple of God. Okay? Do you see that? He's talking to us, and he's calling you the temple of God. You see that? Right? So he says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Okay? For we are the temple. Right? Temple of the living God. So what he's saying is, temple actually means house. Temple means house. Guess what? I am housing God, right? Do you see that up there? I'm housing God. Guess what? You are housing God. Someone should say hallelujah. So you're housing God. Now, Old Testament, Old Covenant, that wasn't so. You had to go to a temple, a building to be with God, to worship God. New Testament, Jesus dies, he rises, he goes and he sits in heaven. Okay, New Testament, God decides to do something different. God decides that now he would move in. Who's moved in? Who's moved in? God's moved into me. God's moved into you the day you receive Jesus Christ, okay? So now you house God. That is just like awesome. That will keep you out of trouble, baby. Think on that, baby. I was sitting there the last couple days as I'm preparing this. I'm going, that keep me out of trouble. Okay. Now, so guess what? Every day when I wake up, I'm housing God on the inside. Every night when I lay down and everything in between, I'm housing God on the inside. That's incredible. You will walk around smiling if you stick on that one. Who's inside? Amen. Okay, turn over to Proverbs 4 now. Turn over to Proverbs 4. Okay, every once in a while, you know, I do this all the time, actually. It's not once in a while. I go looking for funky translations. It's not funky. It's just different. So this is called God's Word Translation. And it's just real practical for where we live today. So if you ever get a chance to get one of those or Google it, download it, go ahead. So I found this translation. I just thought it was good. Alrighty. So again, we are housing God. We're the temple of God. We're the house of God. God, okay? And we have a responsibility with this, right? We have a responsibility, okay? So listen to Proverbs 4, 20, 23. My son, pay attention to my... Open your ears to what I say. Don't lose sight of these things. Keep them deep in your heart. Heart could also be your spirit, okay? Because you're not going to stick it in this blah, 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 physical one. It's talking about your spirit, okay? So keep them deep within your heart because they are life to those who find them and they will heal their whole body. Guard. See that word up there? Guard. Now I'm going to say that the whole thing with it. Guard, maintain, preserve, protect, keep. Okay? Guard your heart more than anything else. Guard your spirit more than anything else. Listen, I pay a lot of money to get this color hair. Okay? I do a lot to preserve this. Okay, some of you do a lot to preserve your bodies. You should see the four different creams that we slap all over this just to look like this. Okay, but this is telling you, look at this. It says guard, maintain, protect, preserve your heart, your spirit more than anything else because it's the source of your life flows from it. Woo! Because the source of your life flows from it. Okay, so when you decided, someone presented who Jesus was, when you received Jesus Christ into your life, who moved in? God moved in, okay? God moved in, alrighty? And he says, I am the source now of life that flows through you. Don't you think you ought to guard it? More than all the things I slap on my face just look like this, okay? Guard your spirit, guard your heart. Okay, now, again, I can't guard your heart. Your spirit, okay? Your spouse is not going to guard. They will tell you a whole lot of good things, though, right? Spouses, we tell lots of good things. But you have to guard your heart. You have to guard it, protect it. So let me ask you another question. Here we go. Let's go on. Has anybody ever been starving? Like you walked in the door. You hadn't eaten all day. You walked in the door, and your house, somebody's cooking. Nowadays, I did all the cooking in my house. And you go, oh, my gosh, I'm starving. I feel like I'm going to faint. All right? Anybody ever say those words? Okay. Jack, you do that all the time. Just like, oh, I feel like I'm going to faint. I'm starving. Okay. Now, the thing about starving is nobody likes to starve, right? Do you like to run around starved? I'll pray with you afterwards. You have an eating disorder. Okay? Okay. Nobody likes to starve their body, right? And yet, at this time of the year, the beginning of the year, guess what we're doing? We're on diets, right? No sugar, no sugar, no sugar. Except for today's communion fellowship, it's a free day. Had this talk with the Lord, okay? But no sugar, no carbs. And really, what am I doing with my body when I say that? I'm starving it certain things, right? I'm going to go starve it certain things, right? Uh-huh. I'm going to try, right? Okay. So you starve your body. If I starve my body, those certain things, I will see change. I'll start shrinking. I won't have to wear all the shirts that hang out. You'll know, guys, because every shirt in my wardrobe is hanging out. Okay. How many of you have got hanging out shirts here going on? All right. All right. So it's really bad when you switch to all elastic pants. Then you're really, you got, okay. These have a zipper and a button, just in case you didn't know. Okay, so now what happens? What if I could tell you something to starve your spirit? What happens if I would tell you some things you could starve your spirit so it would get healthy? Now, when I starve my body, junk, fast food, sugar, oh no, bread and butter, oh my gosh. When I starve it, it's for a purpose because I want to get healthy. Right? Okay, but what happens if I could tell you, and I'm going to tell you three things you can starve your spirit so it can get healthy. Would you want to know what it is? Amen. Okay, here we go. We are, you ready? We're finally at it. Here we go. You're looking on here. All righty. So here we go. What's it say on top? Three things you need to starve your spirit. Okay. Three things you need to do. Starve your spirit. Number one, starve your spirit what? Starve your spirit what? Doubt. Okay, so that means I will trust God more than anything else. I will trust God more than anything else. What's that? Proverbs, what do I have down there? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God. That's what you need to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, so starve your spirit doubt. If you starve your spirit doubt, you will shrink some bad things and grow some good things. Okay, now, how many of you know we live in a fallen world? It's bad. And because you live in a fallen world, right, there's a lot of doubt in the world. Anybody ever run into doubt? Okay. Now, if you are feeding your spirit doubt, you're feeding your spirit doubt. This is what happens. Every time you run into some kind of circumstances, instead of resisting it, you're going to go, oh my gosh, I don't know if God's going to come through. Oh my gosh, I'm not sure if God's even awake today. Oh my gosh, I don't know if he's really going to help me out. That's doubt. You got thinking doubt. Your thinking is all about doubt. You're thinking doubt. You're thinking doubt, all right? So God says you need to start starving doubt, all right? So you need to feed yourself. Guess what you need to feed yourself? How do you feed? The Word of God. The Word of God. Word of faith, too. Put that in there, all right? So starve yourself doubt. Start feeding yourself the Word of God and faith. Alrighty? And please, no doubt. Ready? Now, when I think about y'all coming to church, I think you should leave here after today and after every Sunday going, yes! Hallelujah! I can make another day! Yes! I know God. I'm believing God is going to move in my house. I'm believing God that my kids are going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm believing my marriage is going to be better. I believe 2017, my finances are going up, up, up instead of down, down, down. Okay? That's what, if you're feeding your spirit, that's what's going to happen. Now, unfortunately, you can go to a whole bunch of places. All right. And they give you a diet of doubt on Sunday, such as, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. 2000 years ago, God quit doing that kind of stuff. Or God put this on you because he knew he could teach you a lesson. And I'm going, why would I go to a church like that? Shoot, I can turn the TV on. I can just listen to the devil for that matter. Okay. Listen, I want to hear words of deliverance. I want to hear words of healing. I want to hear words of life. So starve yourself doubt, feed yourself some good stuff. Amen. Number two, what's number two up there say? What? Come on, I gave you papers. Starve your spirit negativism. All right. That simply means I'm going to start thinking like God's thinking. Okay, and I'm not gonna have wrong thoughts. All right, now here's the thing. If you're gonna starve your spirit negativity, negative, 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 I like the thing toxic, negative, negative, there's probably gonna be certain things that you can't watch, you can't listen, you can't read. There's just gonna be some certain things you can't do. If you're going to starve yourself negativism, all right? Now, I'm not telling you what there are certain things that you can't watch, certain things you can't do. I'm not going to do that. But if you ask me, I'll tell you. But really, it's really, you know, you have to determine in your heart as you get quiet with God. And he'll certainly tell you. He will certainly tell you. Turn over to Proverbs 4. No, 2 Peter 2. Sorry, 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Okay, so there's certain things that I can't watch, there's certain things I can't listen, and there's certain things I ought not be reading. Otherwise, I'm going to slippery slope into negative, all right? 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. This is, the Bible tells a story, a quick story about Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. So Lot had a brother, and his brother died, and Abraham took Lot with him. And you know where Lot was living then? Anybody know the story? Where did Lot go live? Sodom. Great place to live. No, not really. Okay, so it says here that Lot, and you can read it. I'm going to give you a fast story. Lot was vexed in his spirit. He was living where? In Sodom. And he was vexed in his spirit. Vexed means he was worn down. He was spiritually worn down in his spirit. Okay? And okay, no, don't answer that question, Pastor D. Okay. Now, a friend of mine was telling me that she had some company over the holidays, and this relative came to stay with her for about a couple of days, and they were a super negative person. Negative, negative, negative. And she said, about 6 hours into having this person in my house, now I will state, this person did not know Jesus, okay? The company did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The host of the house did. And the host said, after about 6 hours, I ran into my bedroom, closed the door, put some music on, got my Bible out, because it was wearing me down listening to this woman all day long. She was negative and critical and negative and negative and negative. She says it would just wear her down. So she says, you know, like every 30 minutes, I was running into my bedroom, slamming the door, going, God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that I have a great hope in the future. Father God. And she put worship music on. And it was like every 30 minutes. It was just wearing to be around this negative person. So what you see and what you hear determines what's going on in your head. What you see and what you hear will determine what's going on in your head, your thoughts, right? And they become really important, what you see all the time, what you hear all the time. That comes really important. So, we live in the greatest time ever. You got CDs, you've got podcasts, you got YouTube. You just press a button and you can listen to, the Bible. You can listen to men and women of God that are just anointed all the time. You can listen to them. You can listen to them. You can listen to them. And what's it going to do to your spirit? It's going to build it up, right? It's going to build it up. And you can listen to that as opposed to listen to wah, 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 which tries to pull you down. Okay, now, if you do that all the time, you're feeding your spirit good stuff. Good, positive words. The word of God, by the way, is the best positive word. Guess what? Then when you run into these negative people, you're going to go, whoa, man, I think I'm not going to hang out with you for the next 24 hours. Okay? Now, this doesn't mean you throw everybody under the bus that's negative, especially if you've got family members and they live under your roof. Okay? You can't do that, but you can shorten the time. All right? Because we are a light. You're a light. But you have to watch out if you are just saturating in people that are negative, negative, negative all the time. It will wear you down. It'll wear your spirit down. It'll just, you get a headache. Okay? They actually become toxic. Toxic. Oh my gosh. All right. So you might want to start thinking who you spend 24/7 with. If you have this routine group, like once a week you go out to eat and then you do this and you do that, and they're all toxic, they're all negative, you might want to reconsider how much time you spend with them. Okay? So personally, I can spend about so much time and then I go, oh, gotta go. It was great hanging out with you. Okay? I know my levels. I know how long I can last. All right, I know how long, because I've been walking with the Lord for 40 years, okay? I'm getting a little smarter, okay? So, again, you might want to consider the people that you hang out with and make them be positive people if you're going to spend great lengths of time, all right? Wow, one time I went on a road trip with someone. Oh, my gosh, I could have chucked him off at the first rest stop, okay? So you know what I did is I got smart, started putting worship music on. Mm-hmm. Then we put the Bible back in the den. It was the Bible on tape. Put the Bible on tape on, okay? So that's how you can do it. Because you have people in your life. But just be conscious what you see, what you hear, all right? Let's see. So we were talking about that you are now the temple of God, and God is housed on the inside of you, right? God's housed on you the inside. God is holy. God is holy. He's made you holy. You just got to walk holy. Okay? You are holy. God, the holy God has come and housed inside of you, right? So the things I used to do before I started living for Jesus, I can't do anymore. I'm not telling you what they were. How many of you know there's things that you used to do, or the things you used to watch, the things you used to listen to do, but now I'm living for Jesus, right? Because when you've received Jesus Christ as Lord in your life, he says you're called a Christian. Okay, you're a Christian, which means a Christ follower. That means I'm going to follow him. And listen, he wasn't doing what I was doing back then. So now I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and a holy God is housed inside of me. So I might consider making some changes, right? Now, let's just say you were a pothead. Anybody know what a pothead? Do they still call them potheads around here now? I don't know. Okay, you're just smoking weed all the time before you got born again, right? Okay, but now you're born again. And you're still smoking weed? You might have to let God convict your heart, okay? And by the way, we don't live in Colorado. Go to Colorado. Guess where you live? You live in Pennsylvania, okay? So listen, there are certain things that you can't do because they contaminate your life, all right? So when we talk about starving, oh, where am I? I'm jumping all over the place. Hey, let's go down to number three, okay? Number three. I was ahead of myself. Starve your spirit sin. I get so excited. Like, I'm up at 6 o'clock and I'm like, is it church yet? Because I'm ready. And then I have, okay, it says a half a pot of coffee. But if you have a big cup, it's only 2 cups of coffee, right? So I only had 2 cups of coffee. So I am so excited, and I'm sorry if I'm kind of out of order here, but listen. Okay, so that's why I actually write type this for me some days. Okay, number three, starve your spirit from sin. Now, I know sin isn't, yay, a great topic, but it is. Okay, we're going to starve ourselves from sin. Starve from sin, okay? Look over at Philippians 4:8. This will tell you what we deal with. Philippians 4:8. Philippians, most of you know this, but let's read it anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Oh, those are pretty good. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So guys, I'm going to have to say no to some things in my life because I'm housing a holy God and I've been made holy. All right? That's wonderful. Now listen, God knew best. Didn't we used to have a TV show, God, Father Knows Best? Yeah. Okay. All you youngins here. Okay. The rest of you don't know what I'm talking about. God knew best. God knew best when he told you not, not, no, no, because he wanted you to do yes, yes, yes. And if you think God's like, man, God's always telling me things I can't do. Guys, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he'll tell you some things. Hey, baby, I love you so much. Just don't do this. It'll save you money. It'll save you a heartache. It'll save you your physical body. So don't do this. And here's some things you should do because God knows best. Everybody say that. Amen. So if you want to keep yourself from sin, you're going to have to keep some right thoughts on here. You're going to have to watch what you see. You watch what you hear. All right. And, hey, why do we do all of this? Why would you do all of this? Why would you do this? Why would you keep yourself from sin? Keep yourself from doubt. Keep yourself from negativism. Yeah. Why would you do it? Because I want to be healthy. I want to be fit on the inside because I got places to go, people to see, and a lot to do for the Lord Jesus till he comes back. And also, he'll make my life so much better. So why would you starve yourself? Because I want to be spiritually fit. Okay? Now, in closing, we're going to close up. Man, I'm going to do this real early today. Hallelujah. There's three things I'm going to give you that you need to do with your spirits. So I just gave you three things you need to starve. Starve, 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 so you can have some results. Now I'm going to give you three things that you do to your spirit. Okay? Three things that you do. Now, how many of you had a filling holiday, like filling of Christmas cookies and eggnog and pies? Anybody have a filling Christmas time? Sure did, okay? Now, how many of you have gotten on the scale yet? I did not. Not getting on that thing. I got a whole month. You got on the scale. How many of you, don't raise your hands unless you want to, your numbers went up. Okay. Yep. All right. So, here's the deal. You feed your body certain things, your body's going to respond, right? That's why I'm wearing the shirts outside, right? You feed your body certain things, they're going to respond, okay? But how about if you go on a diet or a fast? You start fasting things, okay? Then you're going to shrink, 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 right? See how long it takes me to wear a shirt that you tuck in here, okay? You can tell. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you starve your spirit some things, things will change. Your spirit will actually respond. Your spirit will respond. You start starving it from things, okay? So there are certain things you need to feed it. Feed your spirit. Feed your spirit and it'll respond, right? So number one, turn over to 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. The first thing, let me give you this scripture. These three things you do because you want to be healthy. Your spirit. You want your spirit to be healthy. This is why you're going to do it, okay? Feed your spirit so you can be healthy. And it says, like newborn babes, you must crave spiritual milk. Now, when he talks about spiritual milk, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the Word of God. And how many babies, newborn babies, they eat every 2 hours, right? They eat, if not, they're going to have a fit. Wah, 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 all right? They crave what? Milk. They crave it, and they will let you know they are craving it, right? No sleep, Mama, sorry. Okay, so they crave it, all righty? So we need to feed our spirit the Word of God. Feed your spirit the Word of God daily. Or otherwise, your spirit's going to go, wah, 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 right? And you get crabby. Okay, so you need to feed your spirit the Word of God. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor D, how do I do it? How do I feed my spirit? This is the Bible. You open it up and you read it. Now, it's not very hard, is it? It's not very hard, is it? Okay? Okay? Now, and if you really want to do something, actually, Jack got me into this years ago. I read it out loud. I'm actually annoying to be in the same room with because I will start reading things out loud. All right? So you know what you do? I was on the airplane, so I put a Bluetooth on. They just think I'm talking to someone on the phone, just reading the Word out loud. Okay? All right. So you don't have to do that, but you need to feed your spirit. And would you agree? That's really simple. Read your Bible. That's how you feed your spirit. Read your Bible. That's simple, right? Yet, it is so simple that people don't do it. I'm going, what? It is so simple to feed your spirit to make it healthy, and people don't do it. Okay, now I'm going to give you something else you can do if you want to take it up a notch. How many want to take it up a notch this year, being healthy? Probably about 5 years ago, I was at a minister's conference, and this gentleman shared this. And actually, I had been doing this for years, but it's called soap. Soap. And what I did is every year, this is my new one for 2017, I buy a spiral notebook. Okay, spiral notebook. And read your notes on here. So you know me, I get going here. Oh, you got it here? Okay, so what I do is I get this notebook every year, and I'll write the date on the top. And S for soap, S stands for scripture. So I've been reading my Bible. I got up in the morning, and I'm reading my Bible, and all of a sudden this scripture is... Right? So I'll write down that scripture. Just the one. And you know, it's amazing. Sometimes I just read for 5 minutes and it's going like this. Sometimes I'm there 30 minutes. It's usually because I got too much junk going on in my head. Okay? So I open up my Bible. I got my notebook out. Okay? And so I write down the scripture. And on January 4th, I wrote down Mark 10:21. So it was talking to me. And then O stands for observation. So what is that one scripture saying to me? How's it talking to me? All right? Because you could read that scripture and it might be talking a different way to you. So I read this scripture and it started talking to me. So I'll write down what it's saying to me. Now, I will tell you, this is the hardest thing I do because I am so tempted to open my Bible and read for y'all. And, you know, I have to go, no, this is for D. This isn't for pastor, for you. Okay? So it's taken me a couple years to just go, you don't even exist. This is me time. So, again, read my Bible, find the scripture, write the scripture down. Then I write how it's talking to me. Then, and this is what, you know, it says, be ye a doer of a word, not hearers only. So then I write down, how do I apply it to my life? A is application, apply. How do I apply it to my life? So usually if a scripture is going like this and it's talking to me and I get really quiet, God will tell me how I need to be doing this in my life, either for me or how I deal with people, okay, right? So S is for scripture, O is observation, you know, what is it doing here? And A is application, how do I apply it? And the last part, P is prayer. Then I start praying. Oh, God, thanks for talking to me. Oh, God, now how do I do this? Oh, God, you know, so then it's pray. So S-O-A-P, if you want to take your life up a notch, go buy, you know, this one church told me they went and bought notebooks. I'm like, come off it, guys. Go to Walmart. You can buy your notebook. Buy yourself your notebook for the year. And I do this just about every day. And I will tell you the one day I don't do this, Sunday, because I'm ready for y'all. Okay, but pretty much I do this all the time. And I got a pile of notebooks. I bought about 5 or 6 or 7 because I started doing this. Okay, so hallelujah. All right, now, how many days could you go without food and be pleasant? 2, 1. Okay, yeah. I get grumpy. All right. So you can go without food with your body, right? For a couple of days. You can actually go without food for your spirit, right? But not real long. You get mean. You get grumpy. You get touchy. You say some ooky things out of your mouth. I can usually tell. You can tell when I've been out of it, right? All right. So it is, you know, what's the old saying? We feed our body 3 meals a day and then you give it a snack once a week. By the way, we don't have snacks here. This is a meal. This is a full course meal that I present to you today, right? But what it's saying is, you can't just, I mean, I think this was good food here today. But just like your natural body, it is not going to take you to the end of the week. It is not enough to carry you, right? Say amen, Pastor D. Hallelujah. So you know what that means? You have to be responsible to feed. Okay? Yes, you come here on Sunday, and if you're in youth ministry, you go downstairs on Thursday and Sunday night downstairs, you get a full course meal. But you know what? About day 2, man, they're hungry. Your spirit's going to get hungry. All right? So it's your responsibility. Hey, you know another way you can do this also? Besides come here on a Sunday, you can get involved. This is my commercial for a grow group. Because you know what? When you get involved in a grow group, number one, we're talking about the Word of God. We may hit a topic, but it's always the Word of God. And that'll help feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. Plus, you get to hang out with some Christians or wonderful people. Hallelujah. All right. Number 2 and 3. Look at number 2 and 3. They are not so much feeding your spirit. Number 2 and 3 are about a refreshing. Okay, what's that Nesty iced tea commercial where the guy gets an iced tea and he falls into a pool? Okay, there's a refreshing. So number 2 and 3 is about how to refresh your spirit. Number 1, feeding your spirit, feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. Keeps it healthy, strong, fit. Okay, but number two is worship. Worship. I hate singing. No. God created you to worship. Yep, you are created to worship Him. God created you to worship, all right? So what we do up here on Sunday, man, it was just awesome. You know, some days I'm like splat on the floor and then I'm going, gosh, I got to get off the floor and get behind a pulpit. It's just refreshing in times of worship. But listen, guys, you can duplicate that. You don't have to come here just once a week. You can do that at home. Any of my worship teams here? Raise your hand. Any worship team people, band? Yeah, raise your hand. All right, go see them. If you're like, well, I don't know anything about this, they'll tell you some CDs to start with. You know, I didn't do the singing thing. Okay, and by the way, I don't sing real good. Angie was probably listening to me up here up front. I don't sing really good. Matter of fact, you will never have me do a solo. And you should all say, thank you, Jesus. Pastor D's not doing a solo, okay? But listen, I may sound horrible to you, but I don't care. Because when I worship, it's between me and my Father. It's between me and Jesus. And I'll start like this. Jesus, I just love you. See, I'm not even in doing the singing part. Because I have to really, I can't do this. You're all here. Let me do it this way. No. Okay. So I'll just start telling how much I love Jesus. How grateful I am. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Next thing I know, I'm singing. I'm singing, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're wonderful. I worship you. I praise you. All right? So, and I also want to say this. Sometimes it just lasts a few minutes. I mean, I don't spend an hour at it. Sometimes, not too often, but it's a few minutes or in the car time. In the car time. Man, boy, I just sing to the Lord, okay? So it's just you telling him that you love him and you worship him. That's called worshiping. God, I love you. You're so wonderful. Thank you that you came after me and brought me to a new place to be in your family, and then I could come and just spend time with you. I just love you. I just love you. You're so wonderful. And I do that, right? I do that. I do that in the bathroom because I got a CD player, because I don't know what this MP3 thing is yet. Somebody will have to hook me up, but I'm still chucking in CDs. All right, then I figured out, I found YouTube, so I'll pop them on. Yes, I'm so technological. Okay, let me give you a scripture, John 4:24. For God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Okay? God is a spirit. Guess who lives inside of me? Who's housed inside of me? The Spirit of God. Holy God. So I've got the Spirit of God. So I'm going to worship him, all right, in spirit and in truth. You know what the Greek says? The Greek says, by the Spirit and with the Word. By the Spirit and truth. And truth is the Word of God. So we are to worship him by the Spirit. And I'm a spirit being. I am a spirit. I have a soul and I live in this body. I am to worship him in spirit, okay, by the Spirit and with the truth. And this is the truth, right? Anybody got the truth sitting in their lap? This is the truth, right? This is truth. This stuff is true. Okay, so you know what I could do? I could open up, especially to Psalms, I could open up the scriptures and I could start singing them. Right? Couldn't you? This is true. Worship him in spirit and truth. Worship him with the word, right? You could do that. And a lot of our songs have the word of God in them, don't they? They do. A lot of them have the word of God in them. All right. So God wants you to be a worshiper because it will refresh you. It will refresh you when you are just down and dirty. Just go slap on a CD and just start singing to him, okay? If you're in the shower, showers, I sound great, all right? Just sing unto the Lord, all right? So worship is a refreshing to my spirit. We feed it, we refresh it. And the last one that you can do to refresh this, refresh my spirit, is prayer. Prayer, okay? Prayer is not for little old ladies that have gray hair. Prayer is not just women. Did you read Psalms? I'm pretty sure they're all written by men. And their prayers and their songs written by men of God. Okay? So prayer is for everybody. Say everybody. And prayer is so simple. It's just you talking to God and God talking to you. It's you talking to God. Okay? And God talking to you. So that means you got to leave some time. You have to leave some time for God to talk to you. You can't be, rah, 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 rah. See you later. All right? Because you'll miss the best part. God will talk to you. All right? So when you pray, just pour out your heart. All right? Now, the more you get into the Word of God, you'll see prayers. You'll see words, and they'll start coming out of you. But just start. You know, when I first started, I knew Hail Mary and Our Father and the Apostles' Creed. That was a doozy of a prayer. That's it. That's all I knew. So I started with Hail Mary. I really did. And then I started reading my Bible and I found little things. I go, God, I just thank you that you're opening my eyes today. And God, I thank you that you're moving in my life today, I have love. I have you in me. I have love in me, and I cover people with love today. I just started really simple, guys, talking to God. And then I finally got quiet and he'd start talking back to me. All right. So prayer is really simple. Prayer is really simple. Now, there's different kinds of prayer. And I'm not going to go into this. I'm going to wrap this up in about 3 minutes. There's different kinds of prayer. All right? And there's one kind you'll hear us talk about in service. There's one kind that I'm just going to touch on it real quickly. It's called praying in the Spirit. Anybody ever hear of that? Praying in the Spirit? Praying in spirit. Anybody hear that? Okay. Praying in spirit. Okay. The Apostle Paul wrote about that in 1 Corinthians 14. Is it 14:2? What do I have down there? 14:2. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He talked about praying in the spirit. He said, praying in the spirit. Apostle Paul talked about praying in the spirit. And he says, when you pray in the spirit, you edify yourself. You charge yourself up. Okay, anybody know what those robotic vacuum cleaners, those robot, what do they call them? Robo-vac? Anybody have one of those? They worth it? They're worth it. Okay. Okay, so this robo vacuum cleaner, you just turn it on, it goes boom, boom, and then it goes boom, boom, and it starts vacuuming your house, right? This robot vacuum cleaner, when it's running out of juice, you know what it does? It doesn't go. It knows to go back and charge up again. Praying in the spirit charges you up, edifies you. Praying in the spirit charges you up, edifies you. Okay. Jude 20 says, praying in the spirit will build yourself up in your most holy faith. Isaiah 28:11 says, it says, with stammering lips, it's talking about praying in the spirit. It says, this is the rest that causes the weary to rest and is a refreshing. Anybody need any other reasons why you should be praying in the spirit? You get edified, you get charged, you get refreshed. And if you've had a long day, better yet, like halfway through the day, if you've just, you're just kind of like, man, the kids are bananas. My boss is a pain in the neck. And I just did the counting. Ah, and you feel like you're getting drained. Get your robo-vac, plug in. Start praying in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. So, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do one more commercial. Starting in February, we're going to restart. We start our... we call it the spring or the winter. It's somewhere between winter and spring. Grow groups. I always laugh because they're starting February, which is kind of the winter, but they go through the spring. We're starting some new grow groups. Last semester, I did one called the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Okay? And I'm going to actually open up my house, and I can only fit 10 people in there because it just gets bananas. But that's one of the grow groups. I'm going to do one, again, on the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about praying in the Spirit. Okay, we've got another one going on finances. Anyway, we'll announce them later. Okay, so, Pastor D, you're all over the place. I know. Okay, let me give you homework. Homework. Okay, you ready? Get your pencil. I didn't write it down, so you have to look at it. Write it down. Here we go. Homework. Hallelujah. Well, I wrote it down here. Let me give you. Dun-dun-dun. Oh, here we go. Really simple. Really simple homework. Start feeding yourself. I will feed my spirit this week daily. My homework. I didn't ask you to spend an hour every day. Just find a time where every day you feed your spirit. Okay? Feed your spirit. Number two, I will worship daily. Oh, Pastor D. Yes, because you need refreshing. Life's tough out there. It stinks out there. Everybody's shooting you down and it's hard. If you will start just to have a short worship time, you'll get this refreshing going on. And the last one, how about I'll pray every day? I will pray daily. Okay, pray daily. Wow. Pray daily. How about, so again, you're going to feed your spirit. You're going to get into the Word of God daily. And if you want to go buy your own notebook, next week come up to me and you go, Pastor D, I'm soaping, okay? Get yourself a notebook and go soap time, okay? Get the word in there so you can do that. Then you're going to worship a little bit, and worship can be really simple. Father God, I love you. Father God, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. Can you do that? All right, and if you want to do the singy part, Father God, I love you. That's why I don't sing in public, okay? Not hard. Worship is declaration out of your mouth, all right? So the last one is I'm going to pray. You can, this is my prayer. God, would you help me today? I got to do this, this, and this. Father, I need help in my kids. And Lord, I'm praying for this person and this person because they've got a bad doctor report. Just pray about stuff, okay? Just pray, all righty? So, why do we feed and pray and worship, guys? Why do we do this? Because we want to be healthy spirits. We want to be fit. And when you're fit in all areas of your life. It's just crazy wonderful. So let's be fit. Let's pray. Here we go. Father God, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this time, Lord. I did my best to...